Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning, and thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. What an incredible arrangement of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God by the late Mr. Larry Goss. and sung by Greater Vision. That's a beautiful song. And certainly we need to be reminded that our fortress, our power, our strength, our protection does not come from this world. It comes from Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for that today. On the program today, I'm going to continue the sermon that I began last week that was preached on September the 11th at Marksville, Louisiana, Church of the Nazarene. It speaks of a world in crisis needing a church in revival, and I hope that it will challenge your heart as you listen today. Please pray for me while I'm taking this weekend off and spending some time at home in Columbus, Indiana. I'm going to have revival services October 19 to 22 in Chester, West Virginia, at the Church of the Nazarene. Then October 26 to 29, Hurricane, West Virginia, the First Church of the Nazarene. And then I'm going to be at Mackey Church of the Nazarene in Mackey, Indiana, the first Sunday of November. And then I'll be in revival services November 7 through 9 in Buffalo, Kentucky, at the Church of the Nazarene. And then November 14 to 16, Sunman, Indiana, at the First Baptist Church, First Southern Baptist Church in Sunman, Indiana. And then we're almost done with our ministry year, as November the 23rd, I'll be in Bell Fountain, Ohio, at the First Church of God on November the 23rd, and then finish out the year November the 30th at Flintwood Wesleyan Church here in Columbus, Indiana. So I do covet your prayers as we're finishing up the ministry year. It's been a wonderful year, and I'm so thankful for God's faithfulness. I do need to remind you that we need your help to stay on the air. We have been on the air now for 88 years. Dad started the program in 1937. So we need your help if we're to stay on your radio station. Again, I want to encourage our friends who listen to us on WSAT in Salisbury. We need to hear from you. We don't get any support from that particular listening area, and we need to hear from you if we're going to stay on your station after the first of the year. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give to Venmo or PayPal. Thanks so much.
There'll be hilltops I'll have to climb, and rivers I'll have to cross. There'll be trials that I won't understand, but there will always be grace sufficient for me until he comes again, until he comes. I will love him though I may not see. My broken heart and bitter tears are good for me, and the darkest valley may be left to walk before I'm home. But I'll take it to Calvary until he comes. There'll be times I'll feel like I'm all alone. Gonna cry, and I'll wonder if I'll ever smile again. Oh, but I'll refuse to ever turn around. No, I ain't gonna lay my armor down. Not until Jesus comes again, until He comes, I will love Him, though I may not see my broken heart, and bitter tears are good for me. And the darkest valley may be left to walk before I'm home, but I'll take it to Calvary until He comes. There's a refuge at Calvary until He comes. He's promised to meet me at Calvary until He comes. And I'll take it to Calvary until He comes. He comes.
What is your point of reference regarding how you live your life? That's an important question. Is the world your point of reference? Or is the Word your point of reference? Romans says it very clearly in chapter 12, verse 2. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, he says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. A revival of old-fashioned righteousness. If that's going to happen, then the revival must also be a revival of repentance. Repentance is not something just for the sinner. A revival of repentance. Verse 7 there in Isaiah says this, no one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us, made us waste away because of our sins. You do understand what repentance is, the definition of repentance? It's simply this, to turn from sin, dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life, to feel regret or contrition, to change one's mind. In true revival, there must be repentance from indifference. There must be repentance from inactivity. There must be repentance from insincerity. Repentance from inconsistency. Oh, that the church, oh, that the people of God, and I know you're here on a Thursday night, and this perhaps is not relevant to you, but I fear that it is relevant to so many people who come to church on Sunday morning, for there is no consistency. And there seems to be an indifference that has cloaked itself around people of God, at least they claim to be people of God, to where it seems like God and His church and the kingdom of God all are a second thought instead of a first priority. Charles Finney said that revival is nothing more than a new beginning of obedience to God. the revival formula that most of us have heard preached upon from time to time in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil way, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Oh, that we might embrace that formula. Paul admonished the church at Ephesus. He said, repent and do the first works over again. Go back to where you first encountered Jesus and how that affected and impacted your life. And remember the change that took place when you confessed faith in Christ and how you acted then, and compare it to how you're living now. Repent and do the first works. There's evidence that we need to repent. When we're too tough to cry and too busy to pray, we need to repent. When it no longer hurts to see empty pews and barren altars, it's time to repent. When we spend more time decorating our bodies to come to church than we do in preparing our hearts and minds to hear from God, it's time to repent. When we content ourselves with losing 7 of 8 new converts and think nothing about it, it's time to repent. When we're satisfied coming to church, singing the same songs, and hear no fresh word from heaven, it's time to repent. A revival of righteousness, a revival of repentance, and a revival that's real. I've seen that which has been manufactured. I've watched the television programs where the preachers will pump the crowd up and get them all excited. I've seen the rallies. I've seen the crowds. But I have to wonder, is that just emotion? We're so good. And this is not to be critical of any particular group or any particular worship style, but we have the ability to fabricate a move of God with our technology, with our music, with all that we have at our disposal today when we come together to worship. And I've been in churches, men, when they can put a production on that would just amaze you. And we can manufacture a sense of God's presence and it not be the real thing. We need a revival that's real. He said in verse 3 of Isaiah 63, oh, when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says, so he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. What was he saying with that passage? He is saying it doesn't come through Lane Loman, it doesn't come through Robbie Strong, it doesn't come through these wonderful ladies and these musicians as they play. It comes through and by the power, the Holy Spirit of God, that we see a mighty move of God. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, oh God, do not be angry beyond measure. Do not remember our sins forever. Look upon us, we pray, for we are your people. I long to see a revival that's real. I've seen some. I've been a part of some. It was not conjured up. It was not manufactured, as I noted. It was the genuine item. In February of 2023, after a rather predictable chapel service at Asbury University in Wilmore, Kentucky, young man gave the message in that chapel service, and later he said, I didn't feel I did well. I really didn't feel like the message that I wanted to convey was really conveyed effectively. But yet students tarried after that chapel sermon, and they just began to mill around in Hughes Auditorium, and they begin to feel the power of God move in that place, and they begin to pray. And other students begin to file into Hughes Auditorium, and they begin to pray. And they begin to seek the face of God. It didn't happen because of a sermon. It didn't happen because of music. It didn't happen because some evangelist showed up. As a matter of fact, there were well-known speakers who volunteered to come and offer their services. And every one of them was turned down because they realized this is not man-made. This is spirit-made. And for 10 days, 24 hours, hours a day. People from all over the world came into Little Wilmore, Kentucky, experiencing a mighty revival called the Asbury Outpouring. One pastor noted that as he stood outside waiting for a chance to get inside, the line was long. People waiting to get into Hughes Auditorium. He said, as I waited, I just walked around Hughes Auditorium. And he said, the wind was blowing. The wind was blowing. And he said, as I walked around each side of Hughes Auditorium, the wind was blowing from each direction in toward Hughes Auditorium. The wind of the Spirit of God. One young couple from Central America sold their car to get money to fly to Wilmore, Kentucky, to be a part of the Asbury Revival. And the stories go on and on and on and on. Ohio State University. Members of the Ohio State University football team are now leading services on the campus of that university. Students being saved, being baptized in front of hundreds of young people. Things are happening like that. It's real. It's not because of some popular person that's there. It's happening because the Spirit of God is allowed to work and move. It's a real revival, you see. I was privileged to be at the Great Richmond Southside Church of the Nazarene many years ago. My father and I, we'd been invited by the pastor, Reverend Charles Thompson, who's going on to be with the Lord now. He said, Lane, do you suppose you and your dad can come to Southside Church and conduct a revival and you could take turns preaching and singing? I said, we'll get together, give you a date. And we did. And so the meeting was to start on a Wednesday night. And we started getting cards. I started getting postcards from members of that congregation. I'd been there several times. And I'm going back maybe for the third or fourth time. And so I'm getting cards in the mail. And the cards were reading something like this. Dear Lane, we're excited about the revival. We're praying for the revival. Well, you can believe that when I read that, I could hardly wait to get there. I was so excited about what God was going to do. And we arrived. And the first night, my dad preached and I sang. And then we took turnabout. I preached the next night. Then Dad sang, and then Friday night, Dad preached, and I sang. Then it was my turn on Saturday night. Oh, we'd seen a few people come to the altar, but nothing out of the ordinary. And I knew that congregation. I knew them well. I knew they didn't want the ordinary. I knew they didn't want the business as usual. Saturday night, I got up, took my text. I remember what it was, John 3:16, the Bible in miniature. I quoted the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I finished quoting that verse and a young man stood up down here in about the third row. He said, excuse me, Lane. Can I say something? I said, you take your liberty in the Lord. He said, we've not seen the revival we prayed would happen. He said, it's not your fault, Lane. It's not your dad's fault. He said, I'll assume responsibility. He said, I wanted to get to church tonight for the pre-service prayer meeting. But my wife couldn't get her ducks in a row. And she was late. And I got upset with her. And I began to argue with her. And we walked out of the house hurriedly to get in the car to come to church just to be on time for church. And all the way to church, we were arguing about her not being able to get ready on time. He said, when we walked into the church, we were mad at one another. We weren't speaking to one another when we took our seats here. And the enemy had already defeated us. I looked at him and I said, sir, I want you to take your wife by the hand. And I want you to bring her down to the altar. And I want you two to get on your knees. And I want you to begin to pray. And do what you need to do to reconcile. Let's defeat the enemy on our turf here tonight. I turned to that congregation. There might have been 300 people there that night. And I said, maybe there's some other husbands and wives who need to do the same thing. Maybe we've got families in this congregation tonight. Things are not well in the family unit. And you need to come and you need to pray. I was not quite ready for what happened next. In mass, people from all over that congregation began to come, couples and families, and they filled that altar from one end to the other. It was three deep across the front of that large sanctuary, and God came. God moved upon that place. That service lasted until 10 o'clock that night. They came to me and they said, Lane, this is what we've been praying for. It bled over into the Sunday morning service, and the spirit of revival continued. And they said, Lane, would you stay an extra few days? This is what we've been praying for. I stayed three extra days. 70 people joined the church as a result of getting saved during that revival. It was a genuine move of God. I've never forgotten.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so that we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.